Okay, so
Okay.
let's move on now into the next chapter, the search for Dr. Livingston. And the header is, when we have no real identity, we can become anything suggested to us by our inner and outer influences. We believe ourselves to be whatever we fall into.
So this actually continues on a little bit in the first couple of paragraphs with what we were talking about. And so shall I read on, or does somebody have a comment about the header?
I actually have a comment.
Okay.
There's a saying, I'm not sure where it's from, that identity is the biggest obstacle on the spiritual path. And I think that fits with what we've been discussing up to this point, and also where EJ's going with this chapter.
Yeah. Okay, good. And just to expand on that then, the first couple of paragraphs. Just now at this moment, we may think of ourselves as nothing more than a stupid mechanical apparatus for the transformation of organic material of one kind into another form of matter more suitable for the fertilization of flowers. Yet, just yesterday, we thought we were Mr. God himself. And so there we are, two diametrically opposed views of ourselves. Boom, boom. Opposites, in a sense, polar opposites. When our identity is immersed in the machine's sleep, we think of ourselves as the machine, and we are subject to the subtle and not so subtle suggestions of inner and outer influences, and we all know that one. During the course of the day, if we happen to remember to observe the activities of the machine, if we happen to remember to observe the activities of the machine, okay, we may notice the inevitable passages of the machine through one mental identity after another. If we observe the machine over a long period of time, we can actually see these continually changing roles. And jumping ahead, we believe ourselves to feel the same and think in more or less the same way from day to day and even from year to year. Yet we have ample proof that this is not the case. And, you know, so we think of ourselves as a unified whole, and then if we actually do start to observe ourselves a little bit, we get hints. How could I be like that and like that?
Okay, I'd like to interject here. Silverdale said, when the historical personality becomes aware that it is married to an unchangeable, non-phenomenal essence, it begins to relax, and over time, unity of the fragmented parts begins to naturally occur. The historical personality is no longer identified with the outer world.
So read the first phrase again.
When the historical personality becomes aware that it is, quote, married to an unchangeable, non-phenomenal essence, it begins to relax, and over time, unity of the fragmented parts begins to naturally occur. The historical personality is no longer identified with the outer world.
Okay, so the first phrase is, when the historical personality begins to...
becomes aware that it is married.
So when it becomes aware, okay? So how does that process occur? What's the, how does it become aware? What is that process? So when it becomes aware, something else occurs that we're led to here.
I think to some extent, I mean, becomes aware through all of the things we've been talking about in all of our different modules. I think it also becomes aware through the process of surrender. I think
Through the
part of
process.
that feeling of being aware that it is married, that is a process of surrender, and that relaxing occurs from that. What were you saying, David?
No, absolutely. I agree that once you become aware, a different process kicks in, a process of surrender. Makes sense to me. The machine, but to jump ahead a little bit, the point is that we see ourselves in one light, and yet underneath it all, we are savages. The machine, as we are today, cannot be trusted to be the same today as it was tomorrow. So the machine's all over the place. So we're hoping for the unification that comes about as we're being led to, as it's being suggested to us, that it knows that it's married to something else.
And Silverdale continues, simply being informed is a good start.
You
Using
bet it is.
it as a center of gravity thought over time, the awareness in reality becomes crystallized. Using what as the center of gravity thought? Being informed?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we just hold that kind of a thought in our mind, and that's part of what this chapter is about.
Or the intention to be informed, holding the thought that we can be informed and observing from there.
Well, like this whole idea here is,
Oh, wait, he says, informed that we're married till death do us part.
with the non-phenomenal self.
That's right.
So the process is to begin seeing that there are these two things here. First of all, we're observing the historical personality, and then it's like you kind of have to knock it on the head and say, "Don't forget this other guy is sitting there too. He's at the party. This other part is always there and will always be there." And when that starts to hit you, that it will always be there, something happens. Something happens at that point. So, we do not think of ourselves really blithely as philosophical, in the philosophical mental centrums, tucked away safely in ivory towers. And jumping ahead, the fact is, we can make any aim for ourselves quite easily with the mental centrum, but when it comes right down to it, we haven't the will to drive our aim down where it counts, right into the flesh and blood of the sleeping machine. And that's a big key for me, is that at first we do not have that will.
Well, just even think about something as banal as New Year's resolution and how much we keep that. And this is a lot harder than that because we have
That's
all of
a
the will of the buffers.
huge example. It's a great example that you're bringing up because, we say, okay, this year, on January 1st, and everybody's happy and ringing the bell, says, "This year I'm going to get off heroin. If that's it, period." And what happens? We forget it the
Nothing.
next.
Well, I think one thing that doesn't happen is the struggle and the intensity of the struggle, the war. Now, if we're embattled about the goal because the battle is a way of keeping it front and center, and
Beautiful.
forgetting is the opposite of that.
Beautiful. Okay. We must now consider the very distinct difference between our real identity and the identity of the machine. So now comes forward this concept. To begin with, the real self, the non-phenomenal self, has no will of its own beyond a will of attention, which is to say, it is only capable in the beginning. Until it has developed a greater will, of simple attention. In order to use this will of attention, we must find definitively establish our own true identity as distinguished from that of the machine. So here comes forth our first, it's like drawing a line in the sand, right? A bright line.
It'd be better to chisel it in the rock.
Chisel it in the rock, that's right. You know, it's there's no gray here.
Because if it's in the sand, it's just going to be the vicissitudes of the external world.
The real identity never changes. Imaginary identities continually change. We believe ourselves to be whatever we fall into, just like children at play who eventually come to believe in their fantasy. Only when we have established an identity which is free from the sleep of the machine, we have established the true source of attention, which can then actively and impartially observe all the activities and manifestations of the machine. Here we go. From the platform of this new and unchanging self, this station for the impartial observation of the machine is often referred to as the third eye.
As the third eye?
Well, that's what it says.
Okay.
If we happen to observe a temporary machine identity while it is still active, we can remember to identify with a non-phenomenal source of attention by rejecting identification with this, with the machine state, saying to ourselves, I am not this. But this effect is only obtained while the momentary machine identity is still active. And I wrote down there, let's expand on that paragraph, if possible.
I have another comment that I already had in my mind about falling, identifying with what we fall into, and about the part of ourselves that we're so familiar with and that we're so comfortable with. I think that the most pronounced example I've seen of that is our role in terms of work in the external world. Who are you? What are you? I am a carpenter. I am an accountant. I am a healer. The role that we play that's comfortable because we've trained the machine to take that role on in a way that has a semblance of self-esteem. It might be real, might just be a surface presentation. And we've polished that particular role. And we fall into that role and we identify with that role. And so in a certain sense, the sleep can be deeper in that comfortable role that we have fallen into.
So we may have a job as a banker, but then we also become a banker.
That's right. Who are you? I am a banker. And so if the person loses their job, then they're worthless, they're nothing. And so if there's not a lot of development in the other fragments of the personality, they may shoot themselves in the head because they don't exist anymore without the job. They are ruined. It's not like I'm jobless. It's like I'm ruined. Okay. Now, Silverdale made a comment here too. The historical personality no longer is identified with the outer world. Oh, I already read that part. Darn, I'm sorry. Snore.
Let's say we're... Should I go on?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So back to this paragraph on bottom of page 82 about if we happen to observe the machine, the temporary machine identity while it is active, and we say the words, I am not this, right? So let's say you've fallen into the role of being the banker, and you notice that, then you say, I am not this, correct? Is that the exercise?
Yes.
Okay, who is saying I am not this?
That's a very good question. Nice Cohen. Silverdale did have a comment. I just looked at the wrong place when I looked back on the screen. He said,
Okay.
"Being has its arising out of the growth, development, and maturing of the third force, which serves as a separate, independent, autonomous, diverse, co-equal, and diametrically opposite force." Again, being has its arising out of the growth, development, and maturing of the third force, which serves as a separate, independent, autonomous, diverse, co-equal, and diametrically opposite force. And Happiness said, answer to your question, I believe, the awakened self, which Forepaugh agrees with.
Yeah, what we're talking about is the will of attention from the non-phenomenal self, the real identity that never changes, having that observation in a sense and saying, I am not this. I am not this. So there's the machine, there's the historical personality blasting away, doing its thing, and then something says, I am not this. And it says again, I am not this. And then it says yet once again, I am not this. All ordinary identities originating from the machine are eventually replaced by other identities which, because they are changeable, are obviously not the authentic self. Because they're changeable, they're not the authentic self. Then, here's a for me, a critical, critical, pragmatic step in this chapter, page 83, top paragraph. Every moment we work to awaken the machine can be an opportunity to regain our real identity. For me, that effort, that is virtue itself. That work is virtue itself.
Remembering to remember.
Every moment, exactly, every moment we work to awaken the machine can be an opportunity to regain our real identity.
In fact, the practice that Sufis do called zikr, which is the primary practice, which is called, it's a chanting, but it's called remembrance.
Uh-huh.
And like nothing exists except God is the main meaning of what the chant is, and that's remembrance, trying to wake ourselves up so that we remember the non-phenomenal self.
So what we're doing here to me is revolutionary in a certain way. What we're doing here is we're allowing each practitioner, each one of us, to self-discover in this experimental laboratory of ourselves, to experimentally discover what's called the non-phenomenal self. We want to hold it in our hands. We want to feel what it's like. We want to sense it. I am not this. When you see the machine working, having seen the machine fallen into machine identity, we can learn to separate ourselves from it by remembering, I am not that. I am not that, rejecting all those identities that are not eternal and unchanging. So we're working to find it ourselves. And suddenly, we find it ourselves. And when you set this up between these two forces that are at work, what begins to occur is that the historical personality starts to look in a different direction. Starts to. How do we do it? Once again, we pay attention. Just it's a simple act of paying attention to just whatever you can. And we've gotten suggestion after suggestion after suggestion as to what to pay attention to. Last week it was the idea of the buffer. Now, when we're doing this exercise, it seems like what we're to do is when we see the machine doing its thing, we say, I am not that. Okay? can use this method of rejecting false identities to discover the true, unchanging self in more or less the same way that Stanley tried to find Dr. Livingstone in Africa on their hunt for the source of the Nile, of course. So one thing that we can do, we don't know yet what the nature of the true non-phenomenal self is, this unchanging, permanent self within us. But maybe we can know how to retreat from untruth. Maybe we can identify these mechanical reactions that we have of seeking ego approval or something. We can see those. We can retreat from that and say, I am not that. So maybe that is something we can do. That is something we can do. I can tell you, we can do that.
So if we're seeking out our buffers, we, like Dr. Livingstone, can go in search of denial.
Yeah. So if you see that, you can say, I am not that. But it requires you a little bit to let it work, you know, to let it be there a little bit, to let it do its thing. And you say, I am not that. And then again, I am not that. So you're retreating from untruth because maybe that's all you got at the moment.
It's very important to be able to allow it to run so that we can watch it, because when we tighten up and lock down and shut down because we wish it was otherwise and we don't want to see it, in a sense we're creating another buffer.
Yeah. We lock down. Boy, I might have even done that once or twice. It's possible. Combine this search with your other exercises. That doesn't, any of the exercises we've done so far, I didn't say stop doing them. Combine this search with your other exercises using the machine's impermanent and transient identities. Remember to identify not with the sleeping machine, which is a source of these fragmentary identities and states, but with your non-phenomenal source of attention till you find your own Dr. Livingstone. And you might even be able to say, you might not have to say, I presume.
You might not presume, and you might get past denial.
And you might see directly. You know that you know. You're in a sense of certainty in the form of knowledge called direct knowledge, or you know that you know. It's not derivative knowledge. So this is a fascinating chapter to me, just fascinating in this idea of retreating from untruth. But it requires you to not own, as you say, lock down, and not own that machine peculiarity at that moment. How are we doing?
Okay, well, we don't have any more comments. It seems like a nice natural ending place. Happy Miss said good class tonight. Thank you. And we will not have class on the 7th. I will be out of town and won't have access to the technology we need. And we will meet again on the 14th. As per usual, I will make every effort to send out a message letting you know there won't be class on the 7th and there will be class on the 14th. And if there's no other comments, then
I want to say one thing.
Pardon me?
Go ahead. I have a couple. Go ahead, Mike.
I think last week you mentioned that you might put out some way that these exercises were related or something. I can't remember exactly what you
He said he would make a list of all of the exercises for each chapter, and I was going to pester him about this after we got off the phone. But since you brought it up, the other comment I wanted to make was that you, Mike, have made some wonderful comments on the website, and I want to make sure people get a look at them.
Well, thanks.
You have. They're really, really strong. It's worth the concept of group work together, since we're not physically associated together often, some of us, we can begin to do it in the form of going to the website, which in a, and I'm hoping you can mention the website again, and leave a little comment. Just leave a comment, that, just one quick sentence or of what your impressions are. I know some of you occasionally will send me an email with some very interesting things. Leave it on the website, too, on this area, because then others have a chance to dig into it and get it for themselves. It's really good. No. Teresa, do you want to, can you give the website for the PWAS area again?
The website is www.positiveenergyguide.com/PWOS.
Positive Energy Guide?
That's right.
Really, I guess the next 2 weeks is this finding Dr. Livingston, and when I see this machine activity, I say, I am not that, right? Is that my exercise?
That's right.
Okay.